with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the body, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat.
Welcome back, Yardless, the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And basically, we got Stephen Reichlin on the line. If you're just tuning in, New York Times bestselling barbecue author, came out with a new book, Project Griddle. And we've covered a lot. If you missed it, you can catch it on a podcast or replay it. But we were just diving into breakfast on the griddle. Stephen, we were just about to talk about your favorite couple items that you make for breakfast. Take it away, brother.
Okay, absolutely. Well, the first is a dish that I call dirty eggs, and it's the Reichlin version of a fried egg, basically. But what I do, I finely chop fresh herbs like basil, tarragon, chives, rosemary, garlic, and I make a circle of melted butter on the griddle, and I sprinkle that herb mixture on the circle, and then I crack a fresh egg on top of it. And I fry the egg. And what happens is the bottom gets crusty. The herbs get, toasted, crusty, really aromatic. Then I flip the egg over because I like my eggs over easy. Cook the other side. And you wind up with a fried egg that has this explosively flavored crust on top. That's why I call it a dirty egg. Now, yeah. What else would I serve with that? I would do hash browns, which are classic, diner, greasy spoon breakfast. Excellent on the griddle. By yes. the way, in mine, I put julienne leeks in the potato mixtures. That gives you a little extra flavor. Pancakes, another favorite, breakfast favorite on the grill. French toast, excellent on the grill. And by the way, in Spain, they have a dish called torrijas, which is French toast that is in the batter. They put wine as well as cream. And it's served as dessert with either powdered sugar or whipped cream.
You didn't even get the show plan. We were going to go through Spain's plancha. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did, and we'll come back to it. And that's kind of an important point because, all of my books, my deal is global grilling, and my deal now is global griddling. And I'm always looking at particular tool or recipe in a global context. So when I started this book, I always do what I always do when I write a new book. I pack a suitcase. I went to Spain, to learn about the tapas culture. I went to Japan to learn about the teppan culture. I went to Italy to find out about their piastra and their piadina. Piadina, by the way, is a fantastic dish. It's a quesadilla, Italian style, made with Italian cheeses and mortadella. And at the end, you top it with a handful of fresh, crisp, peppery arugula. So you've got sort of hot and cold, you've got crisp and chewy, and that's one of my favorite dishes in the book.
Arugula is such a nice surprise. For a lot of people don't use it, but if you really want to bring in a little bitters or a little different profile, that and a beautiful display, arugula is just a great option. And there's a reason that the top 10 of the top 100 or whatever it is, Michelin restaurants are in Spain. So that's a great place to go and check out really great food.
So Stephen, in looking through the book, poultry is one that I wouldn't immediately gravitate to the griddle on. I'm interested in your take on that, just because I always want to get it done clear to the bone, and I don't want to overcook it. Help us out. If I was going to do like a chicken thigh on the griddle, what's that look like?
Well, chicken thighs are fantastic. When I cook a chicken on the griddle, and I have a whole chapter on it, obviously, not to mention duck, but it would either be a chicken breast or a chicken thigh. And ideally, it would be a boneless chicken thigh.
Okay.
Because you're right. You want to cook it through. Your griddle dome helps with that, with the cooking. I also have another technique that I picked up in Italy, and it's based on pollo al mattone, the Italian, classic Italian dish where you cook chicken under a foil-wrapped brick on the grill.
Right.
I've translated that to the griddle. And the beauty of a griddle as opposed to a grill is when you cook chicken or meats on the grill, the juices fall on the coals, right? Now, right. Some of them come back volatilized in the form of smoke, which adds flavor. But when you cook on a griddle, those juices stay on the griddle. So I find that a chicken breast comes out much more moist on a griddle than a grill.
Well, and you know, and it's fried chicken.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who doesn't love fried chicken? We covered the brick chicken once. I tried it. I probably failed. I never tried it again.
Laid a brick.
It's fantastic. And, you know, the whole key here is flavor. I mean, one thing you'll notice about my food is I'm very flavor forward. I love big flavors. So, you know, griddled chicken breast that's flavored with garlic and hot pepper flakes and extra virgin olive oil, and lemon juice and lemon zest and rosemary and sage. Well, now you've got something.
Yeah. Here's something that Michigan, if you've been up here, we're surrounded by fresh water, which are loaded with salmon. And I love salmon on the grill. There's a little bit of technique, but I've not tried it on the griddle. And I see you've got a candied salmon, which is one of my favorite dishes. I make that in a cast iron skillet, but I've not done it on the griddle. So tell us a little bit about how that, because that's a delicate meat. You don't want it to stick. You're putting a sweet marinade on it.
You don't want to overdo it.
It has a tendency to get black too quick. Just give me a little tip on that, you would.
And before you do you leave the skin on or take it off?
Yeah.
Depends. If I'm serving Mrs. Reichlin, I take the skin off. If I'm just serving the guys, I leave the skin on.
What a good husband.
Yeah.
Right. No, you know, actually, I'm so glad that you brought the conversation around the fish, because in a way, that was another kind of real entry point for me. If you think about a lot of fish, what's the chronic fear with grilling fish, right?
Yep.
A, it's going to stick to the grill grate. B, it's going to fall apart when you turn it. C, it's going to dry out.
And, okay?
Griddle eliminates all those problems. Now, salmon's fairly firm flesh, but if you're cooking a delicate flesh like let's say flounder or gray sole or something like that, you can't grill those. They're too fragile. To come back to the salmon dish, so that's kind of I'm playing with the idea of Japanese teriyaki, but I'm adding brown sugar to it. And you do it on a medium-hot griddle, and this is where that zone griddle, the zone heat on the griddle comes in. But you want to take the sugar. You almost want to burn it. Not quite, but you almost want to burn it. But the griddle, you know, it keeps the fish moist, much moister than on a grill.
Right.
So sometimes I'm going to have to visit you in Michigan and eat some of that freshwater salmon. I bet that's
really wonderful.
Good.
Do you remember the portable stainless griddle that came out about 7 or 8 years ago at the HPBA show? The guy was from Georgia, but he was Spaniard from that area between Spain and France. I can't think of remember the
Basque Country.
The Basque Country. I mean, they do a ton of fish on a griddle. You have to have a griddle.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, the great Spanish chef and humanitarian, Jose Andreas, who's, you know, one of the three or four most famous chefs in the world, got his start as a griddle chef in a restaurant in a seaside resort in southern Spain. And, you know, it'd be like the equivalent of being a short order cook in the United States.
Isn't he in Chicago now?
No, he's everywhere. He has 40 restaurants around the world.
Wow.
He also runs World Food Kitchen, which is a fantastic humanitarian organization.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up
the griddle. It's heaven sent for seafood, you know. And if you've always had problems with fish sticking to the grill grate or falling apart, you know, the griddle is your answer.
So what are your thoughts on the Basque region?
I love the flavors of Spain, and particularly of the Basque region. And, you know, in a funny way, they work with a simple palette of flavors, right? It's smoked paprika, garlic, sherry, wine, brandy, you know, ham, the great hams that they use. So we're talking four or five ingredients, but those are combined in endless variations to make, I mean, in the Project Griddle book, in my tapas chapter, there's a tapas bar, mushroom with garlic and parsley and chorizo. There's the tapas bar shrimp, which were in the cover of the book, you know, done with padron peppers and flambéed with sherry or brandy at the end. What I so admire about the Basque region is the explosive flavors they achieve with relatively simple ingredients.
Okay, you gave us license. We're going to put you on hold. We're taking another break, and we're going to torture you and make you stick around for one more segment. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. We've got Stephen Reichlin on the line. We'll be right back.